Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Oh, good Friday morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Wolves. We're getting that much closer to the Timberwolves regular season, which kicks off in Memphis. Oh, just about, let's see, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 5 days away to the season opener for your Minnesota Timberwolves. It is a fantastic Friday, but it's also a Friday filled with a little bit of controversy, and maybe not just a little bit, maybe a lot. You have a controversial finish to Game 5 of the WNBA Finals. We'll discuss. We'll also talk some Timberwolves basketball if we've got any time left. Chris Dunn's shooting struggles, we'll talk about that, and we'll preview the Charlotte Hornets coming into town tonight. So that's all coming up here on Locked On Wolves. Of course, we also inch closer to the weekend. That means the Vikings are in action in Philadelphia. Sam Ekstrom, Sage Rosenfels, they've got you covered. It's Locked On Vikings. Check it out. Those guys do a great job. They'll get you everything you need to know about Sunday's big matchup as the Vikings look to go to 6-0 on the season. Also, a reminder, if you want a review of every single Eastern Conference and Western Conference team in one nice, tidy package, Locked On NBA has got it. Last week, two podcasts with the hosts of every different Locked On team giving you a 5 to 10 minute recap and storylines and everything you need to know about the season. It is a great primer for next week's season openers. We get underway on Tuesday. Wolves will take it on Wednesday. This week was the Western Conference. I did the Wolves preview. That is out. The second one is also out, and you need to check it out and look for Locked On NBA wherever you find your favorite podcast. All right, before we get to some Wolves stuff, let's dive into this controversy with the WNBA. And I want to start with this. First off, congratulations to the LA Sparks. It was a whale of a ball game last night. It was incredible. The Sparks win it 77-76. You can go to my timeline at Wolves Radio and really you'll be able to follow along with some of the controversial things that happened at the end of that game. But before we dive into that, I just want to say, for a guy who covered the WNBA for 7 years, six of them with the Minnesota Lynx and one of them with the Seattle Storm, I fell in love with this league. I completely believe in what it's all about. I couldn't have more respect for the players, for the coaches, everybody involved in it, for the women's game in general, and how impressionable that is on, I've got a daughter to look up to have something to look up like that. And it's just, I believe in everything about the women's sports and women's game. And so I thought it was an absolutely incredible finals. For the second straight years, it goes to a deciding game 5. I mean, the league couldn't have been happier about the way the last 2 years have played out. And it comes down to a moment in game 5 at Target Center, which is actually packed, 18,000 plus. The green was a great color, popped on TV. It was fantastic. The atmosphere was electric. Everything about the game and the way it goes down to the wire was perfect. Was absolutely what this WNBA is all about, what the players are all about. Nobody will ever understand what these players go through. It's incredible to play this league, and this is their off season. They go overseas and play for 6 more months over there, 7 more months over there. They have such a small window for an opportunity to make a living doing what they love, and they put on an incredible show. And it was a heck of a ball game. Take away some of the controversial things. It was just incredible. The shot making, the back and forth. It's everything you want in sports. It was electric. It was just it was fantastic game. And congratulations to the LA Sparks. Candace Parker gets the monkey off her back. I've been as hard as anybody on her and not being able to win the big one and get her team to the finals in all the years she's been in the league. Never being able to get past Seattle, Phoenix, or Minnesota to get to the finals. And finally, they get here. And it just was, it was a great display of what this league can be. Now, here's one of my issues through the years, and I do speak from experience on this. So the league has always shied away from controversy. They have always kind of tried to move on quickly from it and pretend it didn't happen, whether it's, whether it's a coaching controversy or a player getting a coach fired or the tanking that went on with the Phoenix Mercury or the Atlanta coach, Marinelle Meaders and Angel McCautry not seeing eye to eye and the team basically siding with Angel and kicking Marinelle Meaders out the door. Those things happen. It's okay. It's okay to embrace controversy. Not everything has to be perfect. Nothing ever will be perfect in sports. You've got two teams that are dying to try to win games, and that competitiveness will lead to certain situations that are not positive sometimes. But you know what? That happens. It's okay. And there's why I think the league just really dropped the ball over these 20 years. And it's part of the reason why this league has still struggled to get a foothold in the American sports landscape. Embrace the controversy. It's okay. They don't do any of that. Their website is an absolute joke. It's the only place to get, you know, WNBA information, and they don't touch on even a coach getting fired. You can't even find an official press release from a team. The LA Sparks fired their coach a number of years ago. You couldn't find an official release on WNBA.com. They have missed out on a lot of things. I think they rely on this ESPN contract way too much. They don't do enough locally to get people involved, to get local RSNs involved, the local television networks. They've given up on radio completely. The Lynx are the only team with a radio network. They're only one of two teams that even broadcast their games on radio anymore. I don't even know if people still watch the live access. It's usually a poor production if it's not a televised broadcast. If that is, well, then it's fine. But when it goes to the in-house feed, it's an awful product. It's a bad product. And I just think they need to embrace this as well. And it was controversy. They blew it. Officiating has always been a problem in this league, and it finally showed through on the grandest stage that the league has in game 5 of the WNBA Finals. And everyone saw it. Everyone saw it. With a minute 13 seconds left, the Sparks grabbed an offensive rebound. The ball came off the rim, so the shot clock gets reset. Now it gets reset to 14 in the WNBA. It's a new rule this year. Instead of 24, it goes to 14. It was designed, I think, to kind of increase the pace of play and not let teams just back it out and take 10 or 15 seconds. It's trying to get the game moving a little bit, maybe get the scoring up. So the shot clock gets reset. But it's almost as if LA has kind of fallen back into the thought that I've got 24 seconds to work with here. And they finally get it to Nneka Ogumike down on the block, a nice little jump hook. But the ball is in her hands. When the shot clock is at zero, the lights are on, the horn sounds. It's close, but it's a bang bang. It's definitely one of those things where we see it all the time in the NBA. The referees immediately be like, okay, review. Now the officials, Eric Bruton was the first one I saw to make the call. He signals, puts his hand up. We're going to review it. We're going to review it. We're going to review it. Tommy Nunez does the same thing. He reviews it. He puts his hand up in a circular motion. I did not see Amy Bonner do that at all. She was the third official. But here's the rule. Whether time on the 24-second shot clock expired before the ball left the shooter's hands, prior to the second full timeout in the second period, the review must take place at the next timeout or a period break following the basket in question. That's a little wordy and not applicable. Let's jump to where it does. In the fourth period, after the second full timeout, because there are two TV media timeouts, the review will take place at the next clock stoppage. And here's the important part, including immediately upon a successful basket when the clock stops in the last 2 minutes. So in the last 2 minutes, officials, if they have a question about a shot clock, potential shot clock violation, they stop play immediately and you review it. You do not signal and get it at the next dead ball. The reason they do that is because in the final 2 minutes, it affects how another team might play. Time and score matters in the final 2 minutes, so you have to review it right away. Problem is, the officials signal it, and play moves on. Simone Augustus goes down the floor, hits a basket. L.A. comes back down, misses a shot, and then the Lynx bring it down the floor, and Cheryl Reeve now calls a timeout because she wants to know for sure. There's only, at this point, 30-something seconds left. She wants to know, hey, let's get the review out of the way and find out if I'm up to or if I'm tied. The problem is the three officials blew it. Under 2 minutes, you have to review it right away because, and quoting from the WNBA rulebook, if a 24-second shot clock violation is not reviewed in accordance with the foregoing timing rules, it may not be reviewed thereafter. They blew it. You cannot go back and look at it again. Kind of a big shot with 1:13 left to go in Game 5 of the WNBA Finals. And it puts LA up at the time up by two, 73-71. Kind of a big shot. And that was right after the Lynx went on that run. They were down by seven or so, and they get it tied up. And so That was huge. I mean, to say the least. This is a bucket, a game-changing bucket that the officials completely blew it. Completely blew it. Either they didn't realize that there were under 2 minutes left, and I have a hard time believing that because there was a minute 13 seconds left. You get a sense. You get a sense when you're getting down under 2 minutes. This game is on the line. It's WNBA Finals. It's game five. I mean, you know it's under 2 minutes. But then they either don't know or forgot that you have to review it right away. And, you know, that's really inexcusable because at the very least, just stop it and blow the whistle and huddle up and say, hey, wait, do we review this now or not? Because it wasn't like the Lynx went on a fast breakdown the other way. You have a dead ball situation momentarily. So you've got a little bit of time. It's not going to hurt anybody if you blow the whistle just to be sure. Just to be sure. They absolutely blew it. Absolutely blew it. Bucket shouldn't have counted. And then, if you want to, there are a couple of other ones too. And I just want to mention these. Neko Gwumike, she hits that shot. Of course, she hits the game-winning layup. Not really a layup. It's put down in the play-by-play as a layup. But she hits the game-winning shot with 2 seconds left. 77-76. Sparks and Whalen misses from just inside of midcourt. But with 23 seconds left, Maya Moore misses a three. Rebecca Brunson grabs an offensive rebound, and she's got it just inside the right block. So she's in the paint. Back to the basket. Rebecca pulls it down, turns toward the basket, goes up, and draws the foul. You look at the replay, and Neko Gwumike, playing with five fouls, is the one guarding Rebecca Brunson on her back. Now, digging down from the perimeter is Essence Carson. As Brunson pulls down the rebound, brings it down to about waist or chest level, Carson swipes at it, and looking at the replay, I think she either missed completely or hit the ball. And then Brunson goes up, and Ogwumike has both of her arms at not a 90-degree angle, not straight up, not the Hibbert rule of verticality, but about in between. I don't know what angle that'd be. Right out in front. I mean, it's clear. Right up through the arms. Should have been Ogwumike's sixth. Should have been her sixth. She should have been on the bench having fouled out. Hard to hit a game-winning shot and grab an offensive rebound when you're the league's MVP, when you fouled out and you should be on the bench. It was pretty clear to me that foul was on Ogwumike. And don't tell me the officials don't know what players have five fouls in the last couple of minutes of the game. They know. And I don't know if they, I can't get inside their heads. I don't know. But when you look at the replay, and I posted it at Wolves Radio, it's pretty clear. Ogwumike has her arms out. That's a foul on her. I'll give ESPN credit to Ryan Rucco and Rebecca Lobo. They pointed out earlier in the game when Cheryl Reeve picked up that technical foul with 7:30 left to go in the third. That was when Sylvia Fowles got hurt, and Cheryl was trying to yell and scream at her team to foul, 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 because they needed to get Fowles out of the game. She wasn't running back defensively, and it was 5-on-4. The Lynx failed to realize it, and Parker scored, and they got a technical on Cheryl Reeve, I think, from what I can tell, from going outside the coaching box. Technical free throw was good by Christy Tolliver. You get 1 point for a technical. What was the deciding margin? 1 point. Just another play. I don't put as much importance on that one, but as I was glad to hear Rebecca Lobo say that, you know, that's ticky-tack. That's something you don't call in game five of the finals. That's just ridiculous. And I'm glad that she stood up and said that. And I think she's been more, I don't think it's a bad thing to be critical at times. And I think this league is afraid to be critical, especially with its broadcasts. You know, it's okay. Officials have to be held accountable, just like players have to be held accountable, just like coaches have to be accountable. Cheryl Reeve went off post-game, and, you know, I really support Cheryl. I got to know Cheryl very well ever since she came in 2010, traveled with them for 3-4 years. Great respect for her, incredible coach. And, you know, frankly, I like what she said after the game. She came hard at the officials. We have to be better. The officials have to be better. A game can't end like that. And she's, I think, doing that for a couple of reasons. Obviously, she's frustrated, thought her team deserved a win. She's standing up for her players. She talked about how important it is for the players. But she also talked about she's always been conscious of trying to raise this league and support this league and make it last and make it better. And if you don't, you know, if you don't say things like that and you just say, oh, well, the officials missed that one. No, you have to be held accountable. Things don't change unless you stand up for things. And I think that's what Cheryl was doing. She was standing up for her team and for this league and for the game and for women's sports. And she's right. The officials have to be better in that situation. And the officiating has been a big problem in this league for 20 years. It has gotten better, but it's not there. And the NBA, you know, having just gone to the East Coast a couple weeks ago and done the take a tour of the Instant Replay Center and talking to some of these referees and the structure they have in place and the plans they have placed to get better, they're striving for perfection every day. I don't know that the WNBA has the same system as the NBA referees. And there is a big drop-off between an NBA ref and a WNBA ref. And it was sad to see this come down to be such an important factor in what should have been a great stage, what should have been a great finish for the LA Sparks. Instead, they win by one when they should have had a bucket not count. Essentially, it could have been 76-75 in favor of the Lynx. Tough way to end it. But again, I look back on it and you embrace it. It'll be interesting to see what the league says. Here's the other thing. The ESPN broadcast, my guy Ryan Rocco, who has done WNBA now for a good number of years, and I think does a great job on it. He does New Jersey Nets or Brooklyn Nets basketball as well, ESPN Radio in New York. He was on that as soon as it happened. Hey, they're going to review it. Nobody seemed to know the rule right away, and I'm not sure I would have known the rule either. That's a good refresher for me. But then he tried to explain why it wasn't reviewed, and it was interesting. The ESPN broadcast didn't seem to have an audio problem all night long. But as soon as they went to some replays with, you know, when they had a stoppage, one of the many timeouts, with about 20 seconds left, all the audio went away. The audio went away on the ESPN broadcast of Game 5 of the Finals and went out for about 30, 45 seconds. Are you kidding me? Now, when you get to the Finals and everything, there are league officials in trucks, in TV trucks. They're just about everywhere. They've got hundreds of people. Maybe not in the WNBA, but they've got 20, 30, 40 people with all sorts of jobs. And man, that's just a bad look. That is a bad, bad look. The audio goes out at the one particular time you're talking about something controversial. Man, that just looks bad. I hope it was a technical glitch. I have a hard time believing it. Again, if you're the league, embrace it. It's okay. These things happen. They happen in all sports. You want to play with the big sports? Follow what the NBA does. Use the transparency that Adam Silver and David Stern started. Admit it. You move on. It's okay. Don't try to silence people like, you know, Cheryl Reeve. I bet you won't be able to find that audio anywhere. ESPN certainly didn't show it. I mean, come on. That's great. That's great TV right there. That's great TV. Twitter was fantastic last night. You know what? It's okay. It's okay to talk about these things. You know, in this day and age of being so PR, you know, centric and so worried about everything, it's okay. Embrace it. Embrace it. Get better. Move on. Very simple. Other than that, great finals. Sucked at the end of that way. It just sucked. It did. 77-76. Man, Candace Parker wins the WNBA finals. I'll be darned. I'll be darned. She had a monster game, too. Monster game. What is it, 28-12? Incredible game. All right, let's regroup. We'll take a
turn. Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
I'm out. Be back after this. All right, welcome back. Let's talk some Timberwolves, shall we? That rant went a little bit longer than I thought, but I think it deserved it. Again, I don't want to rehash the whole thing, but, you know, it was a great finals. It was sad to see it end that way, and hopefully the Lynx can move on. That's a disappointing loss, though. You work so hard, and I know how hard these women work. Doesn't mean that the Sparks didn't work as hard. I know how hard they work as well. And Brian Agler's a heck of a coach. Cheryl Reeve's a heck of a coach. And just tough to see it go down. If you want to see a game go down the wire, you hope it's a clean game down the wire. But, you know, some controversial calls down the stretch. Not the case for the Wolves the other night with the 40-point lead that they built, and they end up winning by 7. Little dangerously close to Tom Thibodeau's liking there. But one topic I wanted to get into was Chris Dunn, the rookie out of Providence. 6 games played now in this preseason, 1 start. His numbers look like this. He's averaging 22 minutes a game. He's averaging 4 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, almost 2 steals per game. Turnovers are up there, about 2.5 per game. But what's a little concerning about Chris Dunn's play so far, and this is after he played so well in those two games in the Vegas Summer League, but as we've talked about, you know, well, you come out of college, Summer League's that first step, training camp, preseason is that next step, and then regular season is the final step. And it's been a big jump for Chris Dunn, and his shooting has just not come along. 9 for 46 from the field. That's a 196 shooting percentage. He's 1 of 9 from deep. He's gotten to the free throw line just 7 times in 6 games. He's hit 5 of those. His assist-to-turnover ratio has struggled a bit, 23 assists to 15 turnovers, and he's committed more fouls than any player on the team. He's had 19 fouls called in 134 minutes. Nobody else has more than 12 fouls. That's Cole Aldrich, and he's done that in about 120 minutes or so. So it's been a struggle for Chris Dunn. Struggle to knock down those shots. He's happy with the shots he's getting. And when I talked to him after the shoot-around the other day, you know, I asked him how frustrating it is, or is it frustrating, not to see those shots go down. And I was struck by his answer. Here's what he had to say.
Just from a pace of play and things, how do you feel like you're kind of getting more comfortable with?
Yeah, I mean, that? Game by game, I think I'm getting more comfortable. I think last game was probably, you know, one of my better games. That's all it is with me, you know, just getting comfortable, getting used to my teammates, getting used to how the NBA plays, how the ref works and everything, and, you know, the pace of the game. So I think everything's, you know, is coming along.
Over the next 2 games here, today and Friday, what are you trying to kind of showcase and accomplish?
Just keep on improving, you know, my defense, my offense. I think, you know, the defense, I'm really good on that part. And, you know, getting guys the ball, I think, you know, now it's trying to take better shots, you know, understand, you know, what's a good shot for me and, you know, what's a good shot for my team.
Has it been frustrating not to see some of those shots fall for you?
No, not at all. I've been through it in college. I've been through a slump in high school, you know, and I mean, it's basketball. You know, sometimes it's going to go and sometimes it's not. You got to figure out how, you know, you can get out that slump. I think that shows, you know, the character of a person. You know, are they going to battle through it or are they just going to just cry about it?
Have you been pleased with some of the shots you have been getting?
Definitely. I think most of the shots I've been taking have been my shots, you know, mid-range shots, getting to the basket. You know, now I got to be more locked in and work on finishing.
How about defensively? Do you guys feel like, has that progressed, do you think, week by week?
Definitely. I think Coach Tibbs, you know, he's doing a good job at film, you know, choosing what we're doing really good at, but also what we need to improve. And I think that's what we're trying to do each and every game in the preseason, is trying to improve, you know, our weaknesses on defense.
Has he talked about trying to put a full 48 together? And it seems like during that road trip, you had stretches with really good defense.
Yeah.
Maybe not a complete.
You know, his motto is try to get, you know, 48 minutes perfect. But, you know, ain't nothing perfect in this world. But, you know, try to get as close as you can to it, and that's what we're trying to strive for.
Chris, when it comes to offensively, is part of it for you just kind of trying to experiment and figure out, like you said, where you can get your shots, what you can get away with here maybe as opposed to in college, and just kind of getting used to that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I did it in college. I did it in high school. You know, you got to see what the defense, you know, how they're going to play you, you know, what's comfortable for you, what's your limit. And, you know, right now I think my limits is, you know, getting to the basket, getting guys involved, the mid-range area, and, you know, when I'm open, hit this occasional three.
I just love the way he answered that question, the confidence in which he answered that question. I think it gives you some insight into the type of character that Chris Dunn has. He's been through this before. I've had shooting slumps in high school and college. I'll get through this. You know, it shows character. It tells you a lot about somebody's character if they can get through something like that. Are you gonna get through that, or are you gonna cry about it? I thought that was a very interesting line from Chris Dunn there, and I truly believe, having done a couple of interviews with him, some sit downs during the summer when the Timberwolves first drafted him, that he's just got such a great head on his shoulders. I read a lot into the way guys act, speak, talk, what they say, how they back it up, and I just get a really good feeling from Chris Dunn. I think he's got a good head on his shoulders, and we talked about the road that he's taken to the NBA, and it's just, it's incredible the things he's been through. And, you know, what's the old saying? Whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And it certainly seems that, you know, even though he's been through some rough times and having to fend for himself at a young age, at 9 and 10 years old, 8 years old, literally fighting for food to put in the fridge and clothes to put on his back, that has made him stronger in some way. And he kind of has that, he has that physique. I mean, we've talked about the football background and that football mentality. And I think also the way he grew up is also within him, that fighting mentality. And so I'm not worried about his shooting. And yes, it's 6 games now, but he'll eventually get there. he'll eventually get there. So we'll see if that maybe gets him on track a little bit here tonight. The good thing for Chris is that, you know, he's going to get an opportunity. And, you know, it would take an awful lot, I think, for him not to get that opportunity. It may be at some point, if you got 2, 3, 4, 5 games into the season and the shot still wasn't there, maybe you try to give Tyus Jones an opportunity. Maybe you sit him down for a game or two. But Chris Dunn is, you're drafted high enough, you're fifth overall, you've got so many great attributes, he is going to get an opportunity, and eventually his shot will fall. And I just love the confidence in which he gave with that answer. As for tonight's opponent, the Charlotte Hornets, it's the final preseason game of the season for the Wolves. Hornets are coming off the second of a back-to-back here. They played at home last night, and they beat the Miami Heat 96-88. It looks from the box score like they played all of their regulars, including Kemba Walker, Nicholas Batum, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, Frank Kaminsky, and Roy Hibbert. It appears that's their starting lineup. Marco Bellinelli off the bench, Spencer Hawes, Ramon Sessions, and Jeremy Lamb. So he went 9 deep last night. But you'd have a – who knows who might play for Charlotte tonight. You know, we might see a whole lot of guys like Perry Ellis and Trevor Graham and Rashid Suleiman and Mike Toby, Christian Wood. Marvin Williams did not play. He's got a left finger injury. I don't know how serious that is. Cody Zeller hasn't played at all during the preseason. So it'll be interesting to see what the Charlotte Hornets throw out. It likely will be a B-type unit. I can't imagine he plays many of his starters on the second of a back-to-back so close to the start of the regular season. So that'll be interesting. And the Wolves really should have an advantage in that area, just like they did the other night against Memphis. And I think Andrew Wiggins should be back and healthy for tonight. You can keep it tuned to at Wolves Radio for the latest injury news. And hopefully Shabazz Muhammad can go. Sounded like they were able to go a little bit in practice yesterday. And, I mean, the key is getting them ready for the regular season. So Shabazz might be more doubtful, I think, than Andrew Wiggins. But we'll see. And the Wolves will have their second crack at the Hornets. You know, they lost to Charlotte in Charlotte just about a week and a half ago. And that was the game the Wolves were up by 14 in that one and blew it and went down by 16, I think, at that point. It was a 30-point swing during that game. So a little bit of revenge. And I think the Wolves on their home floor, and with Cat having that breakout game last game, we'll see if maybe somebody else steps up and has that kind of a game. And we'll see if the Wolves can kind of put the hammer down and finish this preseason on a positive note. We'll have the broadcast for you on radio at 7 o'clock. It'll be the tip time between the Wolves and the Hornets. The game will also be broadcast on Fox Sports North. So we got you covered audio-wise, video-wise, and you can come out to the arena, check out the new scoreboard, check out, you can just see the new suite level. It looks very inviting. Let's get together. Let's pool some money together and get ourselves a suite up there. That looks like a lot of fun. Timberwolves tickets tonight are available at timberwolves.com/WolvesTIX. That's going to do it for this edition of Locked on Wolves. Man, no more WNBA to talk about after tonight. But, well, after the way that game finished up last night, you know what? We're ready to have the offseason for the WNBA. But Wolves season just around the corner. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again next week. This has been Locked on Wolves, a part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.